Well, the subject, the title of the subject, It Is Done. And I could say, well, it's done and I can go sit down, but then you'd have an hour to wait or so till we have an intermission. But nevertheless, I think it's a beautiful subject, particularly this time of the season. Think of one project you worked on that required solutions to such challenging problems as it required, a lot of intense thought and a lot of time. And after completing the job and reflecting upon the experiences, what might you say? Well, I think most of us say, it is done. Now I can rest. Well, this expression, it is done, is used four times in the King James Version of the Bible. The first is found in Ezekiel 39, verse 8, about Israel's victory over Gog. God said, it is done. The second is from Luke 14, 22, the parable of the Great Supper Feast. After the servant went to the streets to invite the poor and sick, it was reported, it is done, but there is still room. The third record is in Revelation 16, verse 17, when the seven plagues accomplished their tasks. And finally, in Revelation 21, verse 6, upon the completion of the millennial age work, Christ says, it is done. A similar phrase, it is finished, was stated by our Lord on the cross, John 19, verse 30, and by James, describing how the lust leads to the act of sinning until it is finished in death. These phrases denote an endpoint of a task. At this time of the year, we meditate on the work our Lord finished on the cross. Completing that mission, let's consider the work to be finished by our Lord's second advent. It is found in Revelation chapter 16, denoted as the seven plagues. Before we review the pouring out of the seven plagues of the wrath of God, let's quickly review the background of events leading up to it and determine if there are any prerequisites. Well, what is the purpose of this task? From the beginning of man's history to the end of the gospel age, Satan's lies have influenced Adam and his children. One of Satan's most significant achievements has been the lie concerning the church, his church. This deception must end prior to the establishment of Christ's kingdom. In 1 Peter 4:17, the apostle indicated its end. Reading that verse, it says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" The nominal church system has been beset by various events, such as Luther's decorations, the French Revolution, the impact of fascism and communism, and so forth. When does the ultimate judgment come upon Babylon? Have the plagues been poured out? Are they being poured out now? When we take a closer look at this prophetic picture, we realize that important conditions must take place before these plagues can begin. For we know our Heavenly Father is a God of order and timing. Prior to the pouring out of the plagues, a definite sequence of events are required. If a plague is poured out prior to the establishment of all the required conditions, then that plague may not be as swift as intended. You know, a savvy general knows the importance of pre-battle settings to ensure a quick victory. One of those requirements is found in Revelations 13, verse 15. Revelation 13, verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Let's paraphrase this verse to identify the who's and the what's. And he, the two-horned beast, the Church of England and Ireland, would give breath or life to the image of the beast, the Protestant Federation of Churches. This now gives the image of the beast the power and authority to do two things. First, the image of the beast can speak its demands and be heard. The demands are stated in verses 16 and 17 of that chapter. Let's start with verse 16. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, say he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. This mark or number is the recognition and alliance to the papal head, the vicarious Son of Man. Secondly, the image of the beast will exercise its power upon those not receiving the mark, who do not honor its demand. The consequence is that they will be slain, well, that is, no longer recognized as a Christian. We believe that many deceived Christians will accept the mark for fear of being shunned, much like many Jews feared of being put out of the synagogue, John 9:22 and 16:2. These two pre-plague conditions, speaking with authority and demanding allegiance, have not occurred. Therefore, the first prerequisite has not been met. The second condition is revealed in verses 1 through 4 of Revelation 15. 1 through 4 of Revelation 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And what are they doing? What are they doing in verse 3? And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Excuse me. Well, in verse 1, there are 7 different angels or messengers with 7 different plagues containing God's full and final wrath waiting to be delivered. Notice each angel is only holding his assigned plague. Verse 2 shows us a sea of glass with fire below the glass and a group identified as them above the sea. These are victorious over 4 evil influences: the beast, the image, the mark just previously mentioned in Revelations 13, verses 16 and 17, and his number, 666, meaning the vicar of the Son of God. Throughout the gospel age, including most of the harvest, the true church was not tested by all 4 influences. Therefore, these harp-carrying saints can only be the remaining faithful overcomers at the very end of this harvest. Being overcomers before their deaths, they receive God's mark of acceptance. And with the harps of God, they are singing the song of Moses and the Lamb, which is the gospel message and the day of judgment. With the second prerequisite battle condition set, the 7 angels are only waiting for the righteous King, our returned Lord, to give his command to pour out the plagues. Now let's look at the remaining verses of Revelation 15 to complete the battle preparations. And we're going to start with verse 5 of Revelation 15. After this I looked, and the temple of the tent of witness in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came 7 angels with the 7 plagues, robed in pure white linen, with their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the 4 living creatures gave the 7 angels 7 golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were ended. Now we have the 7 angels coming out of the temple, together robed in their white, their purity proven, with golden or divine girdles of servitude. Justice, the particular one of the 4 living creatures, distributes the 7 different bowls or vehicles, means by which these plagues can be transported to the earth. And why individual bowls? As we will see shortly, each plague is assigned to 7 different elements of earth. 7 different elements of earth. Question might be is, why would justice hand out the bowls? Well, we know that justice demanded Adam's life because of his disobedience. The time is come for justice to serve God's judgment upon the nominal church systems and their associates. Also notice that the temple is filled with the smoke of God's glory and power. What does this mean? The temple class is completed, and the door to the high calling is closed. God has made his abode with the bride to execute his judgments. The command goes forth for the seven angels to begin their task, as we will read in Revelation 16, verse 1. Revelation 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. The proclamation is an essential point in the timing of the plagues, which are not poured out sequentially. The bowls of plagues are distributed to all the angels at the same time. Then they are instructed to go their different ways to dispense the effect of their individual plagues on the earth. Well, why not pour out the plagues sequentially as it was in Egypt? That's a good question. Well, in the Exodus experience, the faith of the Hebrews grew stronger after each plague. While the hearts of Pharaoh and his men were further tested. But in this case, because this church has already been judged, testing and proving the nominal church system has no purpose. Now is the time for God's wrath to go forth. The seven messages will be delivered concurrently against seven different earthly fronts to divide and conquer. This view is supported by Revelation 18, verse 8. Revelation 18, verse 8, which reads, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burnt with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her. Before we go further, you may wonder, who is delivering these plagues? From Revelation 15, 6, we read, these angels came out of the temple with golden girdles. They cannot be the risen saints. Why? There is work to be done by the remaining virgin class. Since some are still in the marketplace buying their oil, it cannot be the great company. While these overcomers, the great company, will support the messages, they lose the privilege to proclaim the judgment. Who are those remaining who have the seal of God on their foreheads? Who has been proven and privileged to wear the golden girdles? They are the remaining wise virgins. Babylon will rise and strike down the messengers, much like the beheading of John the Baptist. If you have not read in volume 3, pages 230 and 231 lately, Brother Russell provides an excellent overview of the church's experience during this time period. As we begin the review of the seven plagues, I would like to suggest a title for each one to help us remember the theme of each plague. For example, the title of the first plague could be, "This is not my kingdom. This is not my kingdom." This plague is described in Revelation 16, verse 2. Revelation 16, verse 2. So the first angel went and poured his bowl on the earth, And the foul and evil sores came upon the men who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. This message of truth is to the stable religious portion of society who received the mark of the image of the beast. Both the Catholics and Protestants, her daughters, learned that their kingdom, Babylon, has never been the Lord's kingdom. I suggest this message could be the similar words that were given to the John class. See volume 1, chapters 13, the kingdoms of this world, chapter 14, the kingdom of God, and chapter 15, the day of judgment. Christ is establishing his kingdom, and God's day of judgment is coming on these present worldly organizations. Her supporters have been deceived, and all their efforts merely sustain Babylon's lie. The mark of the image of the beast, once a symbol of honor, is now a symbol of Satan's deceptions. As the Protestants see the errors of their faith foundation by the light of truth, their alliance grows weak toward the papal system. People no longer fear the image's authority. The religious leaders, suddenly impotent to wield influence, scatter and hide because their unity is shaken. And said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" That's from Revelation 16, verses 16 and 17. Revelation 6, 16 and 17. A different element of Babylon is impacted by the second angel's plague. We might title it Preparations for Civil Unrest. Reading in Revelation 16, verse 3, the second angel poured his bowl into the sea, and it became like blood of a dead man, and every living thing died that was in the sea. The sea represents the restless and dissatisfied of Earth's population. The working class, who sees injustice, wants their real and fancy rights. They demand compensation for their labors in order to care for their families. But over the decades, a greater spread separates the haves and the have-nots. This message is the truth about the Lord's return, the increase of knowledge, the restitution of all things. You might consider this is the thoughts contained in the fourth volume, chapter 7, the nations assembled, and the preparation of the elements for the great fire of God's indignation. Yet the restless society realizes that greed and selfishness has continued since 1874. These economic, civil, and even religious leaders have used this increase of knowledge for personal gains at the expense of others. The people say there has been no restitution. There is no justice. The sea divides into two groups. One of them solidifies into a more radical force that ceases to support the civil and economic systems. They correctly accuse the rich lords, as foretold in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And let's read that. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. The other portion of this element is those who only give a token support out of fear that the world's crisis would only increase. Even within this group, there are some who strive to seek meekness and righteousness. Brethren, Babylon's walls are failing with the combined efforts of these first two plagues. Yet God continues to pour out the fire of his indignation. Which moves us to the third plague, which might carry the title, Your Teachers Have Deceived You. Reading in Revelation 16, verses 4 through 7, the third angel poured his bowl into the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O God, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. As pictured by the first plague in Egypt, that the Nile turned blood red and was unfit to drink, this message reveals the deceptive words of Babylon's religious teachers. Even with her casting off in 1878, she and her daughters continue their teachings and practices. The effect of this plague is to open the eyes of the people to detect and reject the foul teachings. And what might be this message? We might look at the words of volume 3, Thy Kingdom Come, chapter 6, The Work of the Harvest. The separating or harvest, which was done in the Lord's field, has gathered the true wheat. They, this group that's receiving this message, learned that they did not live up to the requirements to be a member of the wheat class. That means that they, you know, the majority, constitutes what? The tares. They begin to see the Lord's rejection of their worldly-based churches and the associated false hopes. Those teachings were not unto life. Their words are detestable and deadly. Why? Why, you ask? You're told, because the truth is not in them. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying works, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them, that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And what are the consequences? We are told in Jeremiah 23:15, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and I'll give them poison water to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone forth unto all the land. God is holding the false teachers totally, totally accountable for their words. The fourth message could be summed up with these words, atonement and life. Reading verses 8 and 9, the fourth angel poured his bowl in on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. This plague enhances the power of the sun, picturing the bright, strong, gospel-age truth message, unhampered by the creeds of nominal churches. The truth light of the fourth plague burns so bright that there is no dark place to hide. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Matthew 10:26. The plague's message is contained in volume 5, chapters 12, the subject of atonement, man, and chapter 13, hopes of life everlasting and immortality secured by the atonement. The easy path to eternal life promulgated by Babylon is revealed to be another error sown by Satan. And what was the purpose of God, of Jesus' once for all atoning sacrifice for Adam and his children? Well, one day, all the world will begin to understand Apostle Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verses 3 to 6. And this one, these verses we know very well. 1 Timothy 2 verses 3 to 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge, an accurate knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There is no fearful place of hell. There was no purpose for the mass. Yet, when the people learn the true cause of discipleship, do you think they thank God for a clearer understanding? No. They cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him the glory. The focus of the fifth message is directed to one central element, and we'll name it, Thou art the man of sin. Thou art the man of sin. Well, let's read verses 10 and 16, dealing with the fifth angel. The fifth angel poured his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was in darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores, and did not repent of their deeds. If one believes a lie, he will live that lie. Isn't that true? This angel directs its message of truth on the seat of the lie, the papal system. And what was the lie that the papal system bought into? These similar words were spoken to and rejected by Jesus, but the principle fits the ambition of greedy men. Reading in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Luke chapter 4, 5 to 7. We know this of our Lord's experience and temptations. And the devil, taking him up, that's our Lord, into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, of the world, in a moment of time. And the devil said unto our Lord, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. They bought into this. The developed religious systems, as a result of accepting Satan's invitation, truly aligns with its title, the beast. When the Reformation began, Luther and other Protestant teachers identified the papacy as the Antichrist system. Having the truth revealed, papacy added a new lie, a new lie. A Spanish Jesuit priest, Ribera, published his studies of Revelation in 1590, showing how the man of sin will be an evil man of the future. Amazingly, even many Protestants accepted the new lie to be distracted from the truth. As a man of sin was revealed by a returned Lord to the true church, the fifth angel's message will reveal the lies promulgated by Satan's church to the whole world. See Volume 2, Chapter 9, The Man of Sin. The pouring out of the fifth plague also impacts those remaining in Babylon. They will receive what was foretold in Revelation 18:4, which reads, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and receive not her plagues. Those who feared to come out will receive these plague experiences. Well, how does the papal system accept this message? There is no hiding this heavenly message that its judgment solely is upon the papal system. Thou art the man of sin. Unlike before, papacy cannot redirect this announcement. They gnaw their tongues in anguish and curse the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They do not repent of their deeds. Babylon cannot admit that she was deceived and believed Satan's lie. Furthermore, she bemoans being told of her unrighteousness. Another important note is that the beast is still alive, and the tares observe its actions. What does the tares observe? The papal system rejects the announcement as untrue and covers its inner workings with a cloak, as it were, to hide from the light of truth. Babylon is placing its kingdom in full of darkness. Those loyal to the false system are drawn into greater darkness, while those loosely attached question the validity of the Pope. Now comes the sixth message, found in verses 12 to 16. Starting with verse 12. The sixth angel poured his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw issuing from the mouth of the dragon and from the mouth of the beast and from the mouth of the false prophet, three foul spirits like frogs. For they are demon spirits performing signs and going abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God Almighty. Lo, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is he who is awake, keeping his garments, that he may not go naked and be exposed. And they assembled them at the place which is called in Hebrew Armageddon. What might come to your mind with these scriptures for a title for this plague? I would suggest calling it the final attack on the new creation. This message has a threefold effect. First, it is directed to the people who no longer support the present Christendom systems pictured by the waters of Euphrates drying up. Now, with the lovers and supporters of antitypical Babylon gone, the kings of the East, our Lord and his bride, can prepare the way for Babylon's final and complete fall. What might be the words to turn the tide of the people? The light of truth. The people hear the truth about the Lord's requirements to be his disciples and to be part of the new creation as presented in Volume 6, Chapter 5, The Organization of the New Creation. It reveals the truth about Peter being the rock, the keys given to Peter, requirements for ministers and so forth. Further show how they have been deceived. This drying up of the people's support, the second effect, does not go unnoticed by the dragon, the civil authority, the beast, the papacy, and the image of the beast, and now called the false prophets, the Protestants. In desperation, each group produces three witnesses to draw the people back into their sphere of influence, the third effect. The people, once deceived and then enlightened to a degree, are now deceived again by these three evil words and actions. They reassemble themselves and march arm in arm to Armageddon to stomp out the light of truth. Interestingly, verse 15 that we read was given in the final hours, not to the false church, but to the remaining feet members. This message is particularly to the great company, similar to God's reassurance to our Lord during his final day of sacrifice. Also, this verse shows that the nominal system still does not know that the Lord has returned and is causing great difficulty within their nominal houses. Now we have reached the seventh and final plague. Starting with verse 17, the seventh angel poured his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, voices, peals of thunder, a great earthquake such as never been since man were on earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city were split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God remembered great Babylon to make her drain the cup of fury of his wrath, and every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found, and the great hailstones, heavy as 100 weight, dropped on men from heaven until men cursed God for the plague of the hail. So fearful was that plague. An appropriate title for this plague might be, "The Gospel Age Work is Done." Let's look at the work of the seventh plague. As Israel marched around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, the shaking of the hearts of the people of the city, and then the march of the last day marked Jericho's fall. This seventh message collapsed the nominal wall around the people of Babylon. This verse tells us that she is truly fallen and will never be raised again by announcing what? It is done. Period. Amen. And you know what else is finished? The work of the remaining saints on this side of the veil is finished. This message poured into the air or on Christendom shows how the demons and Satan are the spiritual powers directing their affairs. The storm cloud of Babylon's judgment releases lightning strokes of truth with the repercussions of judgment's announcements on her. The result is a great earthquake involving the whole earth, as also spoken of in Ezekiel 38, concluding with its words, "It is done." Not only is Babylon fallen, but also this great city is divided into three parts: the civil power, or the dragon, papacy, or the beast, and the Protestant groups, or false prophets. Even after their separation, God's wrath continues to grind away like the stone working on the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The islands, the republics of earth, and the mountains, the kingdoms, will disappear. No form of civil government will exist. No forms of religious organization will exist. Yet the people must be totally convinced. They must be totally convinced of the futility of reorganizing another earthly power. The entire earth continues to receive God's judgment of hard truths, like the continuous hailstorm on the people. Every air of darkness is revealed again and again and again. The pain of remembrance is so great that the people curse God. At this point, the people will be ready to receive the true kingdom of God. Looking at the divine plan, we see that God rested after creating a perfect man. He knew of man's fall and the need for a redeemer within that plan. The Savior was confirmed when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Yet mankind continued in the night of sin and death until the proving was completed for the bride along with her bridesmaids. Now our Lord's work of this age, the ending of the permission of evil, by saying, "It is finished, it is done." Brethren, how we look forward to the future millennial work of Christ, head and body. When this task is completed, surely the whole world will say, "Thank God, it is done." But for now, brethren, we must continue drinking the cup given unto us. John and James, along with the others, were given a cup at the end of the Jewish harvest. So we, dear brethren, are given a cup at the end of the gospel harvest. Drink all of it. Drink all of it until the Lord says, "It is done." May the Lord add his blessing.